Out there, Bristol Bay, fishermen aren't the only ones still chasing salmon in the Nooshigak district. Watchers spotted a couple of orcas just outside the Dillingham Boat Harbor today. It's Friday, July 13th. I'm your host, Austin Fast. Thanks for facing your fears and joining us on this unlucky day. It's the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report on KDLG Public Radio. Today is proving to be anything but unlucky for the Naknek-Quijack district. The Quijack River was behind the gun to hit its 2 million sockeye escapement goal, but that all changed today. Fishermen will move out of the Naknek River's special harvest area just after midnight on Friday. On tonight's show, we'll also talk with the Naknek skipper about some unlucky things you should never do on a boat. Greenhorns, take note.
If you open a can upside down, that's when your boat's going to flip to right that can that you open.
We'll also introduce you to a researcher in King Salmon who spent almost 30 summers inspecting fish scales to figure out what fish are heading to which districts.
Looking around the world and knowing how incredibly special this fishery is because it has been so well taken care of, that's exciting. I love being a part of that.
Those stories and more are all coming up on tonight's Bristol Bay Fisheries Report.
The Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is brought to you by the Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association, ensuring long-term growth is the world's greatest salmon fishery through investment in Bristol Bay science, infrastructure, marketing, and quality. The Bristol Bay RSDA, we're on board with you.
Support for the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report comes from Deep Sea Fisheries Incorporated, working to provide top-quality Alaskan seafood with a commitment to sustainable sourcing. Serving Bristol Bay salmon fishermen with the Big Creek Fisheries Shore Plant since 2008. More at deepseafisheries.com.
But before we get into anything else, how are Bristol Bay's five fishing districts doing? Let's dig into the numbers on our daily run summary. Thursday's total catch across the five districts was 1.6 million sockeye. Fishermen at Dillingham's Small Boat Harbor told me yesterday that the Nooshigak district seems to be tapering off, but you wouldn't know it from the daily run summary. On Thursday, the Noosh hauled in 969,000 fish. The season total red catch for the Nooshigak is at 18,791,000. We've blown way past last year's record harvest of 12.3 million. As for the Nooshigak escapement, all three rivers feeding the district have met their mid-range escapement goals, which is why they waived the two-day transfer period yesterday. On Thursday, 1,600 Chinook passed the Portage Creek sonar, bringing the season total to 85,700. Red Escapement logged 68,000 yesterday for a season total of 803,000. 21,700 Chum made it up the Nooshigak, bringing the season total to 623,900. Over at the Wood River Counting Tower, they had their biggest escapement count in 10 days, 580,500 reds that pushed up toward Aleknagik yesterday. The crew there spotted another 50,000 by 6 a.m. Friday, putting the season total at an astounding and record-breaking 6.13 million. The Agushik Tower saw 27,000 reds yesterday, with another 4,400 before 6 a.m. today, which brings the cumulative total to 312,000. All rivers combined, Nooshigak escapement has hit a cumulative 7.2 million. Total run to the Nooshigak district has smashed last year's record run of 20.27 million. We're now sitting just above 26 million for the Nooshigak's total run, far surpassing the preseason forecast of 21.8 million. Out at the Togiak Tower, on their ninth day of counting, they saw 4,100 reds yesterday and then another 400 by 6 a.m. this morning. That puts season total escapement for Togiak at 32,800. In terms of catch for Togiak, on Thursday, they hauled in 27,000 fish for a season total of 118,900. Heading to the east side in Igigik, fishermen landed 374,000 sockeye on Thursday. That brings the season total for Igigik to 2.8 million fish. Igigik River escapement yesterday was 57,000 sockeye. Cumulative total escapement is now just over 1.1 million. Add that all up, and the total run to Igigik District so far is just about to hit 4 million out of a preseason forecast of 9.1 million. Next door in the Naknek Quijac District, as we said, fishermen are wrapping up their week in the Naknek River Special Harvest Area at 7 p.m. Friday. They caught 225,000 reds on Thursday. The season total catch now sits at 2.5 million from a preseason forecast harvest of 8.9 million. Daily escapement for Naknek Quijac grew to 602,500 on Thursday. Breaking Naknek Quijac escapement down by river, the Quijac River counted 277,000 reds past the tower and an in-river estimate of 600,000 sockeye. That's good news for the Quijac, as that all puts it very close to its bottom escapement goal of 2 million sockeye. On Thursday, the Naknek River reported 220,000 fish escaped, and for the Lagnac River, 105,500 escaped yesterday. Cumulative escapement for the Naknek Quijac is now 3.4 million. Total run there now stands at 6.5 million out of a preseason forecast of 16.6 million. Once again, Ugashik didn't fish on Thursday. The season total catch remains just over 411,000 for Ugashik. At the Ugashik Tower yesterday, the crew counted escapement of 24,200 reds. Season cumulative escapement for the Ugashik River is 240,600. In-river estimate there currently stands at 180,000. Add that all together, and Ugashik's total run so far is 832,600 out of a preseason forecast of 2.9 million. Pulling back to take in the whole bay, total harvest yesterday was just below 1.6 million sockeye. That makes our season total harvest so far 24.7 million fish. To put it all in perspective, 76% of all sockeye caught so far this year have come from the Nooshigak. Just 3 days ago, that was at 80%, so it's good news for the other four districts that they're starting to make up a slightly larger part of the puzzle. Escapement across all five districts was 1.4 million for a season total of 12 million. Adding in our in-river estimates of 780,000 fish puts 2018's total run at 37.5 million so far out of that preseason forecast of 51.3 million. Changing gears now, let's take a look at your latest numbers on sockeye per drift boat deliveries across the bay. For Thursday, Igigik had an incredible 1,255 sockeye per delivery. Nooshigak averaged 687 reds per delivery. Naknek Quijac was 424, and Togiak had 296. And once again, Ugashik didn't fish on Thursday, so no numbers there. They're finally out on the water again today, so we'll have some numbers to report for you soon. Moving right along to vessel registration, here are those numbers as of 9 o'clock Thursday morning. Igigik will tick up slightly by Sunday. We currently have 260 permits on 215 vessels, 45 D-boats. In 48 hours' time, Igigik will add 5 permits on 3 boats, throwing 2 more D-boats into the mix. Ugashik is also going to bump up over the next couple days. Right now, there are 122 permits on 91 vessels for Ugashik. That means 30 are doubled up. By Sunday, Ugashik will add 12 more permits on 8 more boats, adding 4 more D-boats. In Naknek Quijac, there are 325 permits on 283 vessels. That includes 43 D-boats. Naknek Quijac will add 24 permits on 15 vessels in 48 hours' time, bumping that up to 51 total D-boats by Sunday. And in the Nooshigak, registrations are finally falling a bit. Right now, permits stand at 946 on 705 vessels, 240 D-boats. By Sunday morning, 13 permits and 9 boats are heading out of the district. In Togiak, there are 38 permits on 38 boats. Those numbers will remain stable at least through Sunday morning. Looking back, we're standing at a grand total of 1,691 permits on 1,332 vessels across all five districts as of Friday morning. The total number of D-boats is 358 for all of Bristol Bay. In 48 hours' time, we're pushing up to 1,719 permits on 1,350 boats, with 368 of those being doubled up. And that's your daily run summary for Lucky Friday, July 13th. Based on tallies of Thursday's catch and escapement. This is the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report on KDLG. We'll be back in just a moment.
Support for KDLG comes from Nomar in Homer, Alaska, working year-round to make gear for Alaska fishermen and offering brailer and slush bags for the fishing season. Information at nomaralaska.com or 1-800-478-8364.
Support for KDLG is made possible by generous support from the Bristol Bay Fishermen's Association, advocating for fishermen, online at bristolbayfishermen.org.
Welcome back to the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report. We're glad you've stuck with us through the numbers. Our big news tonight will be music to the ears of fishermen who've been crammed into the tight Naknek River special harvest area all week long. It's been a week of doom and gloom since Fish and Game shut down the Naknek-Quijac District. Projections showed as recently as Wednesday that sockeye weren't likely to meet the Quijac River's bottom escapement goal of 2 million. But yesterday, area management biologist Travis Ellison told me he suspected enough reds had ridden a few strong tides upriver midweek to reopen the district by Saturday. We got confirmation on Friday morning as latest numbers show 1.35 million reds have passed the Quijac Tower with 600,000 more estimated in river. Fish and Game announced Friday that set netters can head back out to the whole Naknek Quijac District at 1 a.m. Saturday. Drifters can fish the Naknek section only at that time. That also means Fish and Game is rescinding that sport fishing bag limit they put in on Thursday. Anglers can now take 5 sockeye instead of just 2 in the Quijac River and Lake Iliamna drainages. Also, as of 7 p.m. Friday, when the Naknek River Special Harvest Area closes, all dual permit holders throughout Bristol Bay will be able to use their full 200 fathoms of drift gillnet gear once more. We can't let Friday the 13th pass us by without talking about fishing superstitions. Even the Alaska Department of Fish and Game and King Salmon was not taking chances with fate. They re-recorded their announcements a couple times to ensure they didn't utter the phrase Friday the 13th in any of them. We all know that there's red sky and morning, sailors take warning, but we wanted to dig a little bit deeper than that. Fish reporter Mitch Borden got a good rundown of the most common fishing superstitions from skipper Mike Kraus of the fishing vessel Erlene in Naknek.
You know, you grew up in a fishing town, you used to hang out with the old timers. Do you have any superstitions when it comes to fishing, or do you know about any good ones?
Yes, and I used to crab and drag, and there are a lot of superstitions, like you hang the coffee cups to the outside, not the inside. You don't open a can upside down. You don't eat bananas. You don't whistle in the wheelhouse. You don't leave on Fridays. There are many of them. I don't really, the whistling thing in the cabin kind of gets to me, but I don't really, I'm not real superstitious.
What would the ones you just listed off, what would those, if you do those things, what will supposedly happen?
Well, the coffee cups to the outside keeps the water out. You don't want it on the inside. Bring the water in. You don't. The can thing was explained to me. If you open a can upside down, that's when your boat's going to flip to right that can that you open. The bananas are bad luck, but I haven't seen it. I just go out, do my thing, and keep going. Ooh, ooh,
of all the superstitions we heard from fishermen while we were out there asking, bananas came up the most often. So what's wrong with this seemingly innocent fruit? A little internet research shows us that aside from their peels causing dozens of injuries in cheesy movies or on Mario Kart video games, bananas have a long, dangerous connection to sailing. According to BoaterExam.com, at the height of the trading empire between Spain and the Caribbean in the 1700s, most ships that went missing just happened to be carrying a cargo of bananas. Coincidence? Perhaps, but it goes to show you this one's been around for a while. Another theory suggests that banana transporters had to get to their destination much more quickly, and so they would take more risks because bananas spoil so fast. That also meant that fishermen never caught anything while bananas were on board those ships, which were rushing to their destinations. Two other theories on the dangers of bananas are that they could produce deadly fumes as they ferment in the heat of storage hulls, or that a species of deadly spider would hide inside of them. I actually do remember seeing a news story recently about banana spiders, so maybe there's something to that one. Who knows? If you know, give us a call. Let us know. We'd love to find out. Anyways, let's turn now to the Alaska Young Fisherman's Almanac, where Andrew Marshall of Kodiak offers some more warnings for fishermen. KDLG's Izzy Ross reads his sage advice.
Superstitions. No whistling brings wind. No leaving on Friday, it's real. Suitcases, period. Greenhorns do not bring the rolling bags. Never leave a hatch turned upside down. The boat will want to follow. No plants on boat. No bananas on boat. Showering during a trip or between deliveries is bad luck if there's fish on the boat. Andrew Marshall, Kodiak, Alaska. Andrew learned to fish from his father running the skiff for their family salmon seining operation and has fished for halibut, black cod, salmon, Dungeness crab, shrimp, pollock, and cod between Alaska and Oregon.
And we want to hear from you about superstitions, so give us a call on a special Friday the 13th edition of Late Line at 11 p.m. tonight and share your thoughts. That number is 907-842-1670.
Sparks fly from her fingertips. Echoed voices.
And now a word about subsistence fishing. The Alaska Department of Fish and Game in Dillingham fields a lot of phone calls this time of year about regulations from folks who are working on filling up their freezers. Management biologist Tim Sands sat down with KLG's Avery Lill to hopefully clear up some of that confusion.
Currently, we're in the 3-day per week schedule, and that's 9 a.m. Monday to 9 a.m. Tuesday, 9 a.m. Wednesday to 9 a.m. Thursday, 9 a.m. Saturday to 9 a.m. Sunday. And all that goes away July 17th. So really effective Monday at 9 a.m., it'll open up, and then it'll be 7 days a week after that. And that 3-day per week schedule covers basically up to Lewis Point on the Nooshkegak River, up to Red Bluff on the Wood River. But, of course, with the Wood River Special Harvest Area open, it's basically to the where the Wood River Special Harvest Area starts, and it includes both sides of the rivers. And I get a lot of calls about this, and there's a lot of people that want to make some changes to that. There's proposals been submitted to the Board of Fish. The Board of Fish will be meeting in Dillingham November of this year, end of November. I think it's 28th through December 4th. So if people want to make changes to that regulation, then they should come to the Board of Fish meeting and testify. You can do written testimony, you can do oral testimony, participate in the process and see what you can get changed. If you want something changed, the Board of Fish meeting is going to be the place to change it. And we get lots and lots of calls about the subsistence thing, and lots of people have ideas about how it could be different. So I just want to make sure that everybody knows there's an opportunity to make that happen this year.
And are there specific things that people don't know that they don't know about the subsistence?
One of the things that changed was it went from Friday to Saturday. It used to be Friday 9 a.m. to Saturday 9 a.m., and that changed a couple years ago. So it's open Saturday to Sunday. So people remember the Friday to Saturday schedule, and now that's not the right schedule anymore. People used to think that if you went across Wood River, you could fish 7 days a week. Well, that's not the case. So there are a couple things that, there's just some misinformation out there. The main goal is we don't want people wasting fish. That's where this whole 3-day a week schedule came from. It didn't come from Fish and Game. It came from the local community saying 7 days a week leads to people wasting fish. That's where it came from. But there's other folks out there now who feel like it's maybe time for another change. And so, like I said, there'll be that opportunity in November at the Board of Fish meeting.
And that was ADF&G Area Management Biologist Tim Sands. The Board of Fisheries meeting is the public's chance to weigh in on subsistence and commercial fishing regulations for the entire Bristol Bay region. If you're interested in submitting a comment on a Board of Fisheries meeting proposal, you can find the proposals and comment form on the ADF&G website. We'll also put a link on the KDLG website with this fish report. Now, And across Bristol Bay, scales from fish are being picked, licked, and stuck on cards to be sent to researchers. The reason? To figure out the ages of salmon making their way up the rivers during the run. KDLG's Mitch Borden visited with a researcher in King Salmon who's seen decades of scales.
Kathy Tilley puts a thin sheet of plastic over a paper card with rows of fish scales on it and then places it into a hydraulic press.
And then I can start pumping the pressure up. And we go up to 25,000 PSI, and then we count to 15.
It takes that much force to make imprints of the scales in the plastic.
And then we use a dump valve to just lower the plating, pull these metal plates out, peel it up, and what you are left with is an impression of the fish scales.
After pressing the scales, Tilly takes a small card with the impressions and examines it underneath a microfilm reader.
Most people describe them as looking like a thumbprint or as tree rings.
Tilly is figuring out the age of a salmon. Like trees, salmon have rings on their scales that show how old they are. Tilly looks at these markings that indicate the fish's growth to figure out how many years they spent in freshwater rivers, where they were born, and how many they spent in the ocean. Tilly and one other person age all the scales collected from the Bristol Bay sockeye run. That means they each look at tens of thousands of scales in a summer. Knowing the age of the fish returning to Bristol Bay's rivers helps biologists forecast and manage future runs. It can also provide more information on why a run is turning out differently than forecasted.
For instance, this season, why are we not seeing the age class 2-2? That's a big component, especially of the Igigik River.
Igigik was predicted to have an above-average sockeye run this year. By mid-July, however, not even half the forecasted 9.1 million sockeye have returned. With the data Tilly and her fellow scale ager collected, biologists were able to surmise quickly that the run may be coming in under forecast and enacted conservation measures. Those actions ensured enough sockeye would get up the river to sustain future runs. Even though she spends her summer in a small office instead of on the water, Tilly loves the role she plays in Bristol Bay's salmon fishery.
Looking around the world and knowing how incredibly special this fishery is because it has been so well taken care of, that's exciting. I love being a part of that.
The sockeye season is on track to start winding down in the coming weeks. Until then, Tilly will keep plugging away at aging the scales put in front of her. In King Salmon, I'm Mitch Borden.
That old black magic has me in its spell. That old black magic that you weave so well. Those icy fingers up and down my spine.
And we also have a few messages to the fleet out on the water. This first one's from Judy Bedell. She's putting out a challenge to all the fishermen with Norwegian heritage to pledge bucks or pounds to KDLG today. I'll throw in here that you can go online right now at kdlg.org to send us your donation. Judy's also giving a shout out to all the college grads who are fishing the noosh to pay off student loans. She has a little poem for y'all. It goes like this. The weather might be stormy, but the fish are coming strong. Hang in there with the pickin'. Soon those darn loans will be gone. Happy Friday. We also have another song request from Dito at the Togak River Counting Tower. This goes out to Perry Lee at the Wood River Tower. He wants us to play Howlin' for My Darlin' by Howlin' Wolf, and I will get it in there for you after the show, Dito. Also from the Togak Tower, Kate wants to send some love to Jacob and Shane on the Robin E. She says she's thankful for your presence in Dilly while she was there. She also hopes you worked out all the kinks, whatever those may be. Kate is also requesting the song Sailing the Solar Flares by Dirtwire. I'll work that one in after the show as well, Kate. And a big personal thanks from me to the whole crew at the Togak Tower for being some of our most faithful listeners. We love you. Here's another one from Deanne Halstead. Just a friendly I miss you in all caps to a Robert Smith, Ron Watkins, and Chucky Laborde. And our final message is for Otto Schmidt and the crew of the Surf. It says, we listen to the Fish Report every night and try to imagine the crazy season you are having up there. Long lines, stormy weather, weird runs. Can't wait to hear all about it. The Irish friends are starting to arrive and all want to see you. Hope all is well on the surf and you are knocking them dead. Love, Mom and Dad. P.S. A big thanks to the Fish Report for keeping us in touch. And I just want to say to you, thank you for sending in your messages. It's our pleasure to help you guys out there on the water. And now we have the answer to yesterday's riddle. The riddle first appeared in the magazine Popular Mechanics. There's a light bulb inside a closet. The door is closed, and you cannot see if the light is on or off through the door. However, you know the light is off to start. Outside of the closet, there are three light switches. One of the switches controls the light bulb in the closet. You can flip the switches however you want, but once you open the door, you can no longer touch the switches. How do you figure out, without a doubt, which switch controls the light? The answer is flip switch number one and wait a few minutes. Flip switch number one back to its original position and then immediately flip switch number two. Open the door. If the light is on, then switch number two controls it. If the light is off, then go and feel the bulb with your hand. If the bulb is hot, the switch number one controls it, and if the bulb is cold, then switch number three, the one you didn't touch at all, controls the light bulb. Ah, I see what they did there. All right, here's another one for you guys, and I'm sorry, but this one's a toughie. It's also from Popular Mechanics. Listen closely. You have 12 cue balls, as in pool, cue balls that look and feel identical. However, one of the cue balls is either slightly lighter or slightly heavier than the rest. You cannot tell which ball is the odd one out by handling them, and you do not know if that ball is lighter or heavier. You have a set of old-fashioned balance scales. The scale with more weight in it will tip down, and the scale with less weight in it will tip up. How do you figure out which ball is the odd one out and whether it is lighter or heavier in just three weighings? Let me repeat that for you one more time so you can put your heads together, think about it in time for our next fisheries report on Monday. You have 12 cue balls that look and feel identical. However, one of the cue balls is either slightly lighter or slightly heavier than the rest. You cannot tell which ball is the odd one out by handling them, and you do not know if that ball is lighter or heavier. You do have, however, a set of old-fashioned balance scales. The scale with more weight in it will tip down, and the scale with less weight in it will tip up. How do you figure out which ball is the odd one out, and whether it is lighter or heavier in just three weighings? We'll have the answer on the next Fish Report on Monday night.
Support for KDLG comes from Alaska Eagle Eye, locally owned and operated with car, truck, tool, equipment, and adventure gear rentals at the King Salmon Airport. Committed to getting you on your way in Bristol Bay. Reservations at 246-CARS.
Got a black magic woman. Got a black magic woman.
That's about it for tonight's Bristol Bay Fisheries Report, but before we go, here is your marine weather forecast. There's still a small craft advisory for tonight. You can expect a westerly wind at 25 knots becoming southwest overnight. Seas will be at 8 feet. For Saturday, a southerly wind 15 knots becoming northerly in the afternoon. Seas at 7 feet subsiding to 4 feet in the afternoon. For Saturday night, have a westerly wind at 15 knots, seas 5 feet. On Sunday, we'll have a westerly wind at 15 knots, seas staying at 5 feet. Just one housekeeping note, as I mentioned just a bit ago, the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report will be off the air this weekend, but we'll be back Monday night with all your fish numbers and important fishery news. That's all I've got for you tonight. Thank you to Avery Lill, Izzy Ross, and Mitch Borden for their work on tonight's show. I'm your host, Austin Fast. Please keep in touch with me at austin@kdlg.org or call the station at 907-842-5281. Send your feedback, questions you'd like answered, or, as our favorite, messages to the fleet. Check back in Friday night for Late Line at 11 p.m. We'll be right here with all of your song requests and we're going to be talking about superstitions because it's Friday the 13th. One more giant thank you to all of our underwriters. We absolutely could not do this show without you guys. We also could not do it with all the generous folks who have donated this week to KDLG's pledge drive. We appreciate your donations, your gifts, and just coming in, stopping by, volunteering, saying hello. We appreciate all the time that you've donated this week to help out KDLG, your public radio station. All right, that's all I have for you. Stay safe. Good luck out there. We'll be back with you on Monday at 6 p.m.